Our custom in the church here is to stand for the reading of the scripture. So if you're able, please stand. And if you'd like to follow along, it is Matthew 26, 31 through 46. And it is found on page 29 of the Pew Bible in the New Testament section. This takes place on the night of Jesus' betrayal. The Last Supper is finished. Jesus is about to take his disciples to Gethsemane at the foot of the Mount of Olives. It turns out to be much more than an evening stroll. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee.'" Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now would you bow your heads and pray with me. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for allowing me to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Sermon notes can be found in your bulletins on the blue paper. So today we're going to be talking about facing the challenge of change. And we all know that change is something that comes up on us. Sometimes we choose it and sometimes we don't. But I want to talk, just begin with a little story here. There is an owner of a franchise for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And this owner was doing horribly. His store was doing horribly and he was losing lots of money. So he decided to write a letter to the Pope. And he said to the Pope, "Holy Father, if you change 'give us, Lord, our daily bread' to 'give us, Lord, our daily chicken,' I'll give $1 million to the Vatican." And he got a response back, but he says, no, it is our custom. It says, give us, Lord, our daily bread. In his tenacity, he said, no, things have to change. And so he went back and he wrote another letter to the Holy Father. And he said, Holy Father, if you would change, give us, Lord, our daily bread, give us, Lord, our daily chicken, I'll give you $10 million. And the response back was, no, it is give us, Lord, our daily bread. So in desperation for a change to happen, he writes the Pope again and he says, if you change from give us, Lord, our daily bread to give us, Lord, our daily chicken, I'll give you $1 billion. To which the Pope said, I'll get back to you. Now, he went to his trusted advisors, and he said, this was a deal that we just can't give up. And so the Pope called him back and said, we will accept the $1 billion. And instead of give us, Lord, our daily bread, give us, Lord, our daily chicken. But the Pope was kind of down and bewildered, and his trusted advisors said, well, Holy Father, why are you so upset? He said, well, when we changed it to give us, Lord, our daily chicken, we lost the contract for give us, Lord, our daily Wonder Bread. Just something light to start this off with. You know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes we go through life and change is just inevitable. And sometimes change just smacks us in the face. And, you know, as I was going through my week, and, you know, had the service for Don Carroll, it just kind of came to me that, you know, we just don't know when change is going to happen. We just don't know sometimes when change is going to alter our life. And there are those changes that are really good, those decisions we make or those providential things that God does in our lives. And change happens. But a lot of times change just comes out of nowhere and hits us, and we find ourselves bewildered or perplexed. And so it's times like these when I think we need to find how do we face change the way that we should do it in the eyes of Jesus. And so I want to focus today on how Jesus himself faced change. Now, when things change in our lives, what are some of the feelings that come up? Like, for example, I was on a plane last week, on Monday, flying back to Ohio, and the pilot said, we have a change in our flight plan. What kind of emotions do you think come up with that? Anyone? Scary, anxiety? Yeah, absolutely. You know, and so we have this variety of feelings, and so we can have anxiety, or there are those changes that happen that we feel joyful about. But most of the time, when we're facing the challenge of change, we need to kind of think it through so that we can really, really be the recipient maybe of the blessing that God has given us in the bigger picture. So sermon note number one is this. The first step to successfully changing change is to admit that it's happening to you. So one of the biggest times of change in Jesus' life was after the Last Supper, when he went to the garden and prayed and all that was going to happen. And we heard the story today how Peter and the apostles, they just couldn't fathom this change. And so they didn't want to admit it. And we're told that Jesus had confronted their denial and said, you know, this is going to happen. And so we needed to admit it and then allow what God is going to do to happen. There's a scripture in Isaiah 48:6 says this. And Isaiah is talking about new things that are coming out of change. He says, you've heard these things. Look at them all. Will you not admit them? From now on, I will tell you of new things, of hidden things unknown to you. They're created now, and you have not heard them before today. But Isaiah says that we can't sometimes, when change is upon us, we have to keep our minds open and we have to admit, yes, this change is happening. And Lord, I am open to you because you are going to be faithful. So the first emotion I think that we face with the challenge of change sometimes is denial, is that something is going to change. And maybe it's going to have ramifications for us and those that we love. So the first step I think that Jesus models to us is that he admitted openly the change was going to happen. So sermon note number two is this. We're told by him that when we feel the pressure of change that's bearing down on us, we should accept the invitation and go to him. Now think about that. When we feel the pressure of change bearing down on us, we should accept the invitation and then go to him. You know, the apostles that night in the garden, they didn't want to accept the invitation. And we're told that their feelings were so heavy that they actually fell asleep. And that was maybe their way of denial, that heaviness. And maybe sometimes we do that too. And instead of accepting that something is changing, that we kind of just kind of hang back from it or ignore it. But we get this assurance in Matthew 11:28 that says this. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So not only do we admit change is happening, but we need to accept it and with this go to God. You see, the step sometimes that we do is we admit, yes, this is happening, and yeah, I accept it, but then we block out God from allowing this change to play out to his greater glory. So accept the invitation and go to him. The third sermon note today is this, is before change approaches, we make a plan. And when change approaches, we work the plan. So when Jesus was with the apostles that night, he outlined the plan for them. He outlined everything that was going to be going. But the apostles themselves had to seek that and had to believe that. And that's what they were struggling with. And so the challenge for us is when change is going to hit us, that not only we accept it, but we say, God, I know you are faithful. And so I open myself to you. And so, God, show me your plan. And sometimes Jesus does that step by step by step. Sometimes we can see the whole thing, and sometimes maybe we can see only our next footstep. You know, we get that psalm in that goes, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It always rains me. I remember when I was in seminary, we had an archaeology room, and there were lamps that they used in biblical days. And what a lamp looked like, it looks like a little ashtray with a little wick on it. And when the professor lit it for us, you know, and he turned the lights off in the classroom, and all you could barely see when you're holding that lamp is your next step. And so it just kind of rains true that God gives us that next step. But sometimes I think in our anxiety and our fear or whatever it is, we want to see the whole picture. And sometimes God doesn't work like that. And yet we have to trust him that we can take that next step and take that next step, and that what he's going to reveal to us is there. But we have to trust and believe it. So God gives us this plan, and we need to kind of work the plan. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Now, Peter that night in the garden, there was a plan. And Jesus had let them know that. And Peter himself was just in denial. And Peter himself was afraid to allow things to happen. And we're told that he even was pretty aggressive. You know, when the soldier came to arrest Jesus, we heard that Peter took out a sword and cut off the soldier's ear. And what did Christ say? "Put down your sword. Those who live by the sword die by the sword." You know, sometimes we can be like Peter when change is facing us this way. We, instead of embracing it, we can lash out against it. And we can lash out against the circumstances that have caused it. And sometimes in that emotion, we lose what God is really trying to do in and through us. Sometimes in our humanness, our human emotion is so great that we can't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit as he works in our hearts. So, sermon note number four, Jesus, the one most affected by change, was the one who faced change perfectly. And we think about the whole story of that last night, that Jesus was going to be the one that was most affected by change. He was going to be the one who was going to suffer and die for our sins, for the sins, and so that all would know him as Lord and Savior. And we're told that when Jesus did this in Matthew 26, 39, going a little farther, we hear this, that Jesus fell face to the ground and he said this prayer, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." But here's the words. I love these words. "Yet not as I will, but as you will." You know, when we have those situations that are bearing down on us, that are causing us anxiety or stress, or maybe those situations that we're just not sure, we need to say that, "Yes, Father, let this be about you and what you want to do in and through my life, not about what I want." And so, you know, I think that it's great to understand that Jesus did this perfectly. And he did it by two ways. The first one is this way, is by acceptance, and the second one is by affirmation. But sermon note number five is as facing change heroically by looking to the eyes of the Father with honesty. You know, it's interesting how we can get ourselves so worked up about things. It's interesting how we can get ourselves so off track when sometimes all we really need to do is focus our eyes on the Father. What does it say? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely by the light of his glory. Yes. Yes. So facing these changes heroically by looking in the eyes of the Father with honesty. Now, as I said, Jesus did this perfectly, and he did it by two ways. Number one is acceptance, and number two was affirmation. You know, we see the human side of Jesus in the garden when he prayed once again, and he prayed, "If it's not possible for this cup to be taken away, may your will be done. May your will be done." And so having accepted and affirmed God's will, we're equipped to pursue it. So as we face things, we have to go beyond denial, go beyond the heaviness of it, then go to that acceptance, like, "God, if this is your will, I accept it. And I affirm your presence. I affirm your power in my life." Like the hymn says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated unto." These are those truths, those beautiful truths we hear in the scriptures and in the hymns that God guides us to when we're facing these challenges. And so finally, we have number seven is this, is when we're facing the change today, we face it with one who remains unchanging. One who remains unchanging. So if we face change in the eyes and the arms of our Heavenly Father, we know that whatever befails us, God will take care of us. Malachi says there in chapter 3:6, "I, the Lord, do not change." You know, we sang that opening hymn today, "Great is thy faithfulness." Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, the seasons are just amazing. And we can go through these seasons, and God is faithful. And God carries us through no matter what that is. I shared at Don Carroll's funeral this past Friday, four things that he had told me about when we were having a conversation about spirituality. Our first conversation was all about music, and I found out that we were kindred spirits, that we were actually in the same place at the same time many of times. But it was that second conversation, and as I was saying this, I thought, I've got to mention this on Sunday, but there are four things that when we go through these seasons of life, these seasons of change, that we need to cling to God. And the first one is this, is that God's is providential, meaning that God is in control of things, even when we don't think he is. He's got you. He's got me. He's got us. And so our faith is in putting our trust in that. The second one is this, is when life gets perplexing, when we go into a season of being perplexed, God is doing something in the midst of that. Maybe it's something we can't see, but it's going to be revealed. And we're going to sing this hymn in the hymn of promise where it says, unrevealed until it's promised, something God alone can see. So we need to remember that God is providential, that even through when God is perplexing to us, that he's working something. And then there's the purpose of a season of purpose. And sometimes we don't know exactly what that is, but we know that God does have a purpose, that God does. And the last one is that God definitely is working his providence inside of us, his perplexingness, his purpose, and God is working a plan inside of us. And if we can embrace that as our spiritual beliefs, we can face the challenge of change like Jesus did. I'll be honest with you, when that pilot said, we're going to change the flight plan, that was a little nerve-wracking, wasn't it? When we've been in other situations, when we've been given news, maybe news about our health, maybe news about a condition, maybe news about someone in our family, we know what that can do to us. And I think we need to just go to him and ask him for his plan, and then we can follow that plan until its fulfillment, until we can finally see what the Lord has planned for us. I can say that we go through change personally. We go through change in our families, our relationships. We're going to go through changes in our church. And I think as we do this, one of the things that I think I've learned about being here over the last 9 months is that, God, you've got so many things planned for me, for the church, for all of us, that are just unrevealed. But Lord, if we just stay faithful to you, if we just stay faithful to you, that you have our back, you know, you've got this. And so today I want to leave you with just a short song about the change that really needs to happen. And that is the change of just giving our hearts fully to Jesus. Because like the scripture says, he's the potter and we are the clay. Sometimes we don't know what we're going to be shaped into, but we know that our God is going to make it something beautiful. He's going to take something that doesn't make sense, and he's going to make it beautiful for us. So may you be blessed by the words of the song.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Let's bow our heads and pray. God, you are so good. You are the one that never changes. God, we ask that today that you could fill our hearts and fill our spirits. Lord, we know there are things that come up in our lives that we don't understand. But Lord, we know that you've got this. You know that if we place our trust in you, you make good all things in your time. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for those things that today we cannot see, those things that are in our future. We pray, Lord, that we may embrace them as we embrace you. Amen.